And welcome back to Cool Science Radio Now. And we never thought we'd be talking about marijuana in Utah, but here goes. The recent law requiring the state of Utah to track and tag every medical marijuana plant grown is complex and confusing for future medical marijuana patients and Utah's health department. But of course, software already exists, and not surprisingly, in Colorado. All-in-one cannabis tracking software and business solution covers the requirements of compliant seed-to-sale tracking and data reporting in every state. We're joined by Jeff Gonring of BioTrack THC to explain how plants are tracked from seedling to dispensary shelf. Jeff, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on the program. And, you know, when I first started hearing about this tracking software, I says, oh, my goodness, this is the gift that keeps giving here in Utah. We started out with archaic liquor laws, and we went from 0.08 to 0.05, and now they're going to track everything on the marijuana side. But as I found out, every state that has a dispensary for medicinal marijuana has to go through this type of process, don't they?
Correct.
Okay, but what might be a little bit different in this case is that the county health departments are going to serve as the dispensaries versus a separate private organization. Is that unique in Utah?
Yes, that is. There's some other jurisdictions that do it somewhat similarly. Like in Canada, all of the distribution is done through the government's mailing service, and in New York, they're all licensed pharmacists by the state. So it's not completely out of the blue, but it is definitely a little unique that the state and the counties will essentially be responsible for the dispensing of the medical cannabis products.
Does that put the state of Utah in conflict with the federal law?
So technically, yes, it does, because cannabis is still a Schedule I federally illegal drug. However, the entire the dawning of tracking came about when Attorney General Jeff Sessions was still in office under the Trump administration, and these state-regulated cannabis programs began popping up faster and faster, and there became this gray area of how are we going to deal with this. Federally, it's illegal, but these states have moved forward with it. And Attorney James M. Cole under Obama put out what was called the Cole Memo, and that basically was a uniform standard. It was a letter to all attorneys general basically stating that so long as states enlisted strict tracking and regulatory frameworks, that the federal government would essentially keep their hands off. And so that became sort of the bar, if you will, for how these state programs could operate without being bugged, and that required tracking of all of the inventory and reporting it up to the state. Now, that memo was repealed under Jeff Sessions and President Trump, but that is still considered the standard for the industry to basically make sure that if the day comes where the federal government comes knocking on our state's door asking questions, we can say, look, we're tracking every bit of product throughout the entire state. We have real-time oversight over every bit of product throughout the supply chain. And if any of this product were to end up in the wrong hand, we could tell you who grew it, who sold it to the person, how they got it, when they got it. So really, while everybody's not pro-cannabis, everybody can get behind doing this in a way that is safe, it's transparent, it ensures the products are clean and tested for the patients, and basically creates a structure where this isn't some nuisance to the public. We are doing this, you know, safely and in a modern way that's not going to bother everybody.
Jeff, I guess I didn't realize that even though, say, we are now bordering a state that has legalized marijuana, and we'll call it Colorado, there are others as well, but once medicinal marijuana comes to Utah, it won't be coming across state lines because it's not federally permitted. So is it right that everything that will be dispensed in Utah is grown in Utah?
That is correct. So under the current federal Schedule I status, any cannabis product crossing a state border is then considered federal trafficking. Now, with Utah legalizing medical cannabis, you could technically drive all the way from Washington State up in the Northeast down to Oklahoma and almost into Illinois at this point without crossing through a non-legal state. But you still can't cross the borders with that product. Now, with that said, Oregon does have a bill in play to allow exporting of their cannabis product to other states. And if that were to go through, it would be an absolute game changer for our industry. But under the current structure, you're correct in that all of Utah's medical cannabis that is dispensed will be grown and produced in the state of Utah.
Hey, Jeff, because I'm not sure of the technology or the terminology, I say medical marijuana, you say medical cannabis. What is the correct terminology? I assume it's cannabis because you're the expert.
So we try and generalize cannabis. Marijuana has a little bit of a negative stigma associated with it, and it's the term that's long been referred to since, you know, the reefer madness days. And believe it or not, if you do some research on the historical terminology behind the term marijuana, a lot of people claim that it has some racism rooted in the definition of it. And cannabis, the industry and the product as a whole needs a makeover. We need to change the stigma around it and let people understand that this is a product that carries significant medical value. It's not the drug from the 60s of reefer madness. So referring to it as cannabis, kind of the industry's effort towards rebranding it.
Can I include Cheech and Chong in there?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Jeff Gonring. He's a person who works for BioTrack THC, and we're talking to him about how plants are tracked from seedling to dispensary shelf here, or how they will be here in Utah. Has the state decided yet on barcode versus RFID technologies?
They have not, but those are currently the two leading forms of tracking the product. So barcodes are your traditional printed piece of paper with a barcode on it that you scan and reads all the information for the tracking, who grew it, et cetera. Whereas the RFIDs carry a little antenna in them, like a microchip, that carries all of that information. But what we don't like about RFIDs is that they're very expensive, they're one-time use, and at the end of the day, it's a bunch of plastic that can't be recycled. So it's not great for the environment. And once you get into these, you know, 100, 200,000 square foot grows, you have to tag every single plant, every single package. It gets to be a lot of tags, and it can be quite an expensive burden on the businesses.
Yeah, exactly. I remember Reefer Madness way, way back in college days, and I think it was put together by the federal government to scare all of us, but we thought it was a comedy.
Right.
It was quite a movie, I'll tell you that. But it's just fascinating. Could you talk a little bit more about how these dispensaries work? I mean, currently they have to consume product that's grown in their state, and so they can't sell to other states, and they have to compete with growers that are growing their own marijuana that is not being tracked, does not have to be tracked. Like in the state of Massachusetts, for an example, you're allowed to have three plants and each individual. And the rules are different in different states. Is that correct?
Right. There is no uniform regulatory framework. There are no two states whose rules are the same.
Jeff, I'm wondering also, I mean, you talk about some of the benefits of being able to track all the way back to when a plant was seedling, you know, quality control, if there's anything wrong, any recalls, things like that. But I'm wondering also about the, I know that there are percentages, especially with medical cannabis, there we go, I'll try the new word, create different effects and lesser on the mind-altering side of THC. So you've got CBD and THC, and they're different ratios and things like that. I'm not too sure about it, but maybe you could explain that. And then, you know, is that something you can track as well with BioTrack THC?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a huge point of why we exist, is the product quality control. And so what we're finding now that more and more research is finally occurring around medical cannabis and its applications is that there are all of these different profile makeups of each individual product that you're consuming, different terpenes, different THC percentage, different CBD percentage, THCA, and the list goes on and on. And what they're finding is that those different chemical makeups have different impacts on the medical benefits that they ultimately provide to the users. So a big part is being able to hone in on which chemical makeups are the proper one for your specific medical condition and the effects that you're trying to deal with. So part of what BioTrack does is it incorporates all of that testing information, including whether or not it passed for pesticides, chemicals, mold, all kinds of things that would, you know, cause patients to get sick if they were to consume it. So part of what BioTrack does is it tracks and carries all of that information on within the barcode. So if someone were to scan it, all of that could be pulled up and presented on your computer screen. But then once it gets to the dispensary point of sale, they will scan that barcode and pull it into their computer, and they'll print the majority of that info out on the label for the consumer to actually see. So as you're honing in on, you know, say you have anxiety or nausea problems, after a few test runs, you'll be able to figure out this chemical profile is what works best for my conditions. So when you go to the dispensary, you can look through products that have specifically what you're looking for.
So we started out with a referendum, and then the state legislature got involved in changing some stuff around. What are the next step in the process, and how long before Utah's cannabis industry is up and running?
So this is the question we always get asked, and I wish more than anything I could give you guys a date and say, I promise that's when it's going to happen. But that's just not how these programs work. There's inevitably a lot of back and forth in trying to finalize the rules and regulations. And then, so the main points that need to happen here, first, well, we need a way for patients to get registered to become a patient within the state. So there's usually a technology product, a mailing system for patients to actually register with the state. Once we have that registration process, we can get patients. From there, we need businesses. So the business licensing process comes out and the applications. And again, there's a technology system to take in all of that information, screen the application, the grading process. And inevitably, the people who would lose would usually sue the state. But for Utah, that's not going to be an issue for you guys, since the counties are the ones actually operating the dispensing. So that hurdle you guys get to skip. But then the final piece of the puzzle is the tracking system. So in order to make sure the product is getting to patients safely, you have to make sure the laboratories are in place for QA testing. The tracking system is in place to carry those QA test results and pass on that information to the patient. So the main two things that are going to need to happen are the patient licensing database and the seed-to-sale tracking system. And once those two pieces get up and running, there's really not a whole lot in the way short of getting seeds in the ground.
So roughly 100 years?
You know,
no. I'm sorry I'm so cynical, but it's just my nature.
Going like 60 days.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm just, and I know this will be up and running soon, but you think, what's your estimate if you were a betting person?
I would like to hope by the end of 2019, but again, certainly don't quote me on that.
You're in enough trouble, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that growing cannabis plants isn't like growing grapes to make wine. I mean, you have to have those vines for years before they really produce the right grape. Or I don't know. Is it that way? It's not, I imagine. You just throw some seeds in and 3 months later you've got a plant, right, Jeff?
But if you're growing if you're growing grapes and you can sell your grapes outside of the state border for people that want to, you know, be making their own wine, or you can be making your own wine from those grapes and that sort of thing. This is kind of a tricky situation because people would automatically think, they thought a couple of years ago, automatically would think that they could really build a business and make a lot of money. But it's possible that you're not going to make a lot of money because there's all these other competing factors, not to mention the fact that you can't market your product outside of your state. So so the business models have to be looked at carefully, don't they, Jeff?
That is absolutely correct. And a big part of that is these programs grow in phases. So right off the bat, you're going to have X number of qualifying conditions and X number of patients, and that number is not really going to grow a lot year over year. It's going to be pretty consistent until you either add more patients or expand the program and give more access to the public, essentially. So businesses who are starting off at the beginning sort of have a fixed number of consumers until the state decides to add more patients or add more qualifying conditions.
So, Jeff, BioTrack THC started in Colorado. Is that correct?
Actually, it started in Florida as a prescription opioid tracking software in the late 2000s.
Oh.
And we pivoted into the cannabis business when we were approached by growers and dispensaries in Colorado who had seen our opioid tracking solution and said, if you could repurpose these workflows for cannabis, we would absolutely use this. And so, obviously, with the industry coming up in Colorado at the time, we saw the opportunity, and here we are.
And you have competitors, I would assume?
Oh, yeah. We have lots of competitors.
Okay. It's fascinating software and technology. The website is BioTrack. That's BioTrack.com. You can learn more. I noticed that you have two tabs, business solutions and government solutions. And I guess that makes sense. But if you're a business, you can, I mean, a business, I would assume, looking to start growing and producing medical cannabis.
That's exactly correct. And we'll look to, so basically all of the plant-touching businesses have to track and report on their supply chain movements throughout the entire process and report that upward to a governing agency. And then the governing agency needs a technology system to gather and organize that data in a dashboard that they can make sense of. So we provide the businesses with the software to track, and then we also provide governments with the solution to absorb all of that information, which we compete for on a contract basis, and we will look to compete for it to be that system in the state of Utah.
Jeff Gonring, BioTrack THC, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Cool Science Radio.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks,
have a good
Jeff.
Day.
You too.
You too.